I'm Andrew from the Dad.io podcast. Life supplies the inputs and we supply the outputs. Part of the Going to Geek network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic and amazing geeky shows at goingtogeeknetwork.com.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
I am the Green Arrow.
The Green Arrow has entered through the front door.
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to Earth 2's favorite newspaper. We call it the Starling Tribune. I am your chief editor tonight. My name is SP, and I am either on location or in hiding. Take your pick. And your other reporters for this episode number 239 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
So this is what legit looks like.
Yeah, I guess. Kinda, sorta. We could debate that. And Michelle.
I think you've abused your food privileges enough for today.
Do you happen to have any cake? Maybe cupcakes? A little small cake? Maybe a personal pizza? Something like that?
Sorry, I'm all out.
All right, we'll just have to go out and get some food afterwards. Maybe we can get some shawarma afterwards.
Ooh.
Hey guys, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, May 2nd, 2019, live on www.geeks.live.
That's right, and in this episode, we'll be discussing the latest episode of Arrow, as well as news, interviews, articles, and announcements that have dropped in the last week that could, and let's be honest, probably will impact future episodes of Arrow, as well as the greater universe. That includes The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, Black Lightning, and anything else they decide to make a TV show. So maybe Batwoman too. Who knows?
If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. After the show, you can check out our content at goingtogeek.com, where you can also find other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles.
Thanks, guys. It's great to all be back together on the Starling Tribune. Michelle, why don't you just go ahead and break down the current episode of Arrow for us?
Sure thing. This episode is Confessions. It's season 7, episode 20. It aired Monday, April 29th, 2019. Directed by Tara Millay. Credits include To Hawaii 5-0, To Arrow. Written by Onali Hunter. Credits include Seven of the Last Ship and Three Arrow. And Emilia Ortega Aldrich. Credits include 16 episodes of Arrow.
Annalie Hunter and Emilia Ortega Aldrich are an incredible writing team. Just love it when they get together. Great names to see on the creative team on the episode. And you know something special when you see those names. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we get there, we're going to talk about the ratings for the CW shows for the past week. It's something that we do all the time. We try to keep track of how popular these shows are. Although, as we discussed last time with Michelle and I, maybe we should not care about these ratings anymore. We'll discuss that later. So on Sunday, the 28th of April, Supergirl aired the 19th episode of the fourth season called American Dreamer to a live audience of 1.14. I have to admit, I'm a couple episodes behind in Supergirl right now. I did state that I wasn't going to try to keep current in the spring here as things were moving on. And Supergirl was one of the things that went by the wayside. It is all on my DVR, however. On Monday, the 29th of April, Legends of Tomorrow aired the 13th episode of the fourth season. Remember, they are several episodes behind because when they came back, it was later. They had that long hiatus. And the episode was titled Egg MacGuffin to a live rating of 0.91. Following Legends of Tomorrow, Arrow aired this episode that we're talking about tonight to a live rating of, ouch, 0.64. But again, I don't know if we really care about these ratings anymore. And then Tuesday, the 30th of April, the last day of April, 2019, Flash aired the 20th episode of the fifth season titled Gone Rogue to a live rating of 1.37. I can see the rating drop based on the last few episodes of The Flash, but this one, I think, brought it back home. Michelle, have you seen Gone Rogue?
Yes, and I actually liked this episode. Until the end, I think it got a little cheap with the whole one episode. I'm going to spoil this a little bit with Nora being upset with Daddy just for one episode, considering what he did to her. Just all of a sudden, just one episode, she goes through this little phase. You know, I'm sorry, Nora. Okay, Dad, I know you love me, but up until that point, it was a really cool episode.
It was about a 4-episode arc to get to this point, though. I have watched it all. And Chris, have you seen it?
I am not current on this season of Flash. I'm going to binge it when it's all done.
That's fine. It was about a 4-episode arc, so it really wasn't just the one episode. But I think they did a decent job of getting from there to here. However, I don't know how it's going to go from here on. Was this just a little bump in the road before the finale? I don't know. I know a lot of people that listen to this podcast are Flash fans, so you can comment on the Flash and we'll talk about it in the feedback in a future episode if you do have those comments. But we're going to get back to Arrow. We're going to talk about confessions. And Michelle, what kind of confessions do you have?
Well, we have the police station where Dinah and her colleague are trying to get Team Arrow to confess to what really happened at the metro station, which I had no idea Star City had a subway until now. I cannot believe after all this time we haven't had a really cool subway car fight scene, so I am very disappointed, and I hope that is in season 8. And then, of course, we learn that Roy has a big confession to make, and it has to do with why he killed the guards, and that is because he has a little bloodlust going on.
Just a smidge.
And not Mirakuru. Yeah, this is something else that was interesting. I didn't even think about that. You know what? I think we talked about it at the end of last season because they were going to go hunting for all these Lazarus pits. And we were thinking, well, what would happen if somebody died? I think we mentioned that. If we didn't, I definitely was thinking about it at the time. And I think all you guys were too. Not a huge surprise, but I think he should have told somebody about it.
Just a little bit, especially if they're going to rely on you out in the field. It's probably best that people know what your current issues are that could backfire and ruin an operation.
Well, he thought he had it under control, and considering Thea had been through it as well, and there was Nyssa, I think they really thought he was able to go out in the world and help Oliver. But in the end, maybe it is that lingering residue of Mirakuru that did something else. And I think we realize why he is on the island for so long.
Trying to center himself or trying to make it so he doesn't go crazy.
I can definitely see that, like, in the future in 2040. Yeah, that would be a reason. Now, he's still around at the end of this episode, right? He doesn't leave.
He is sitting in the cave talking to Oliver when it ends. Well, no, he was, then Oliver goes off to do his thing. So last we saw was him in the Arrow Cave or whatever we're calling it.
I can imagine when the footage gets out, though, things are going to get a little dicey across the board, though, next episode.
We wonder how heroes have their downfall. Maybe this is the first step of it from what we've seen in 2040.
First step? I think they've been headed this way for a long time.
This is the next step, then I'll rephrase.
Okay.
Well, we got Roy back, which was fantastic. And I love how the parkour genius, that is his official title right now, infiltrates Aerodyne for getting the thermal fogger for the Night Circle. He's trying to get it before the bad guys do. And him going through that hallway shaft, or, you know, you can't touch the floor, you can't really touch the walls, and there he's all like boom ba boom ba boom, and then he's like, I gotta get higher, and he like jumps up, and oh my gosh, SP, what did you think about how he got that final shot?
I think the action as far as Roy was concerned in this episode was great. I was watching it the whole time. It was a little disjointed just the way they told the story, but yeah, Roy's got it going on.
Chris, what did you think about his like jump down through the fan?
It was badass. This is the stuff we like to see, is Roy doing weird flips and jumps. We even got more of his flips and stuff when he starts fighting, which we'll talk about later. I'd forgotten how much I enjoyed Roy's just random acrobatics. I guess it's because he's a parkour genius.
What did you used to call it, Chris? It was something with the kick, right? The roundhouse kick, right?
The flip kick, I think is what it was, or something like that.
Okay. Whatever it was nice to see it back.
It was.
So basically, this is like one evening, one event, them going to the subway station to stop the Ninth Circle from spreading the bioweapon. And we get it from different points of view and different types of action. Really, we see Roy in that hallway against all those Ninth Circle guys. And again, we get a lot of those sweep kicks and flip kicks, all those things that we really enjoy about Roy.
This was interesting because the first time around that we see it, he loses. Actually, the first several times that we see it, he loses. However, that is not the case. In the finale, we see that he is not knocked out, and it has something to do with what has happened to him, because no normal person, maybe with Mercury in them, but no normal person is going to be able to take that mace to the face and just knock, you know, shrug it off and get back up. So we see that he does, and he actually takes care of business with all of the ninjas in the hallway there, the Ninth Circle bad guys, and he is able to go on and then basically come to the unfortunate end of the two transit security guards.
Yeah, boy, they were really outclassed there, weren't they?
Just a bit, especially when you gave him a pipe. Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, they tried to get off a couple of shots, but either they missed or Roy's, you know, outfit was able to stop the bullets or something, but they unfortunately met their savage end.
It's part of the story. Sadly, the sad part of the story there.
When Oliver went to the vent room and had his fight, I actually believed he took down all those guys. Didn't you, Chris, before we learned the truth?
That's what I wanted to believe. They made me believe. But they tricked me.
Yeah, we learn he ends up getting help from Dinah, who lied from the start.
Yeah, that was kind of amazing to me that she would do that, trying to play it as straight-laced, because she played the episode. So they're acting the entire episode, and you kind of feel that's going on because Felicity is redirecting and diverting all the way. Because when Felicity wants to be direct, she'll be direct, but she was using the food excuse. Dinah was letting her use that along the way. Like, yeah, something's just off here. And it's not until the end, the first time around that you watch it, that you discover that Diana's actually in on it. And you see her, as you just mentioned, actually going in and fighting with everybody else, which is great. I'm glad she's still there. She's still fighting with her staff, even without her cry. Of course, she's got the watch, right? But she doesn't have her cry. So where it really hit hard was when one of those Ninth Circle ninjas were thrown up against the HVAC in the room there, and the HVAC crumbles. And the first time around you see it, it's Oliver that's throwing the person in there. But the second time around you see it, it's Dinah that ends up throwing the ninja in there. And they're like, oh, girl's got game. So it was fun seeing her in there. But it was also a nice dichotomy for her to be involved in everything. And it's slightly out of character, I would say, a little bit. She is with the team, but she has allegiance to the SCPD too. So this was a rough one for her.
Well, I mean, she's kind of going against a lot of what is her central core tenet as a police officer, both now and in the past and things like that, which is upholding the law and truth. And now they're kind of burying this pretty big deal. What happened there? I mean, it's striking me a little strange too, because remember, part of why Oliver went to jail was he wanted to be held accountable for things that he had done. How are we holding anyone accountable by hiding the truth and pinning a murder on someone who didn't do it?
We were wondering what happened with Dinah and why she was no longer with the SCPD in the future. I think this is it. I think that they find out that she was in on everything because of the security footage and that she gets fired from the SCPD because of it. That sergeant's not going to have anything to do with it. I forget what his name is, but he's been around and has had it in for vigilantes since the beginning.
Yeah, because we get Emiko. And I want to talk a little bit about Renee. His comment about Roy not being part of the team, that kind of bugged me. But his whole attitude of, Emiko was nice to me once, so, you know, maybe like she's not 100% evil.
So this show has a long history of redemption, and we've seen characters, including Laurel, that have been redeemed that we think are far too gone in a way. Heck, even Nora's dad, what's his name? Damien was redeemed in Legends of Tomorrow a little bit too, right? So the show and this network has had a long history of that. And I get where he's coming from that, but she is just hellbent on destroying everybody. They're not in a position to redeem her. They're in a position to stop her. Maybe not kill her, but stop her. And Renee is in with it. But when he is one-on-one with her in the corridor, you know, subway tunnel, whatever it is, he does not try to apprehend her. He just tries to talk to her. Now, maybe that's the right choice, but you'd think he would try to apprehend her, and he doesn't.
Like you said, he's hoping he can save her, and maybe he has a slightly different view on things because his opinion is tainted on the fact that she was the new Green Arrow, saved him, was the only other person who's caring about, or seemingly caring about, saving the Glades. We know that saving the Glades is something that's important to Renee now. It arguably builds towards why he makes his decisions in the future. So I guess maybe he just can't get past the fact that this was his ally when everyone else seems to have given up and wants to believe there's that kernel of goodness. One would think he should have realized not by now, but Renee has always been a bit stubborn.
No, you don't say, Haas.
Just a teeny bit. Oh, you Haas'd me. It's a Haas bomb.
I did. I got the Haas out first. Ha!
I see how it is. Someone's getting in on my shtick now.
I just wanted to be the first to break the seal so it wouldn't be yours.
And also, Renee does learn that Emiko is the leader of the Night Circle because he actually thinks, you know, she's being played by them and everything. And she's like, no, sweetie, I'm the one in charge. So thanks, bye.
Not only that, but oh, by the way, I killed Dad.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Here's the thing. I understand her anger towards Robert. He was, sometimes he was a jerk, maybe a POS and such. And I can understand her anger towards him. But this whole, I want to destroy all the queens and I'm going to ruin your legacy, brother who never knew about me. I don't know. It just seems so out there.
I have the same problem. I mean, let's be honest. Oliver never knew that he had another half-sister out there. This is his second half-sister, by the way. So how do you hold him accountable and blame him for the fact that Oliver Queen didn't know about you, so Robert Queen neglected you, abandoned you, left you to the wolves, but we're going to blame Oliver for it? It seems like it's a little misdirected anger, but maybe it's just because Oliver is a convenient scapegoat at this point, or he's a reminder of the family that Robert went to and abandoned her for. Or it's just because plot.
Emiko in her vendetta. I mean, if you're going to kill Robert, then I can see it perpetuating. But I would think that she would want to go after Thea, too. And she has not gone after Thea. Of course, Thea's not in the show anymore for a lot. I mean, the actor is not involved. So maybe that's part of it. But we're getting a lot of Thea references. And Emiko knows about Thea. And there's no... So it's all directed at Oliver, and I don't know if that's that. I guess that's the part that's bugging me. Just Oliver. It's not against Thea. I mean, she says queens, but she means Oliver.
Well, it's because he's the only queen around. I'm sure if Thea were there, she would be a target of it, but her Emiko's plans are in Star City. Everything she's trying to do is out of Star City right now, so Oliver's the only one there. Now, I'm starting to think, as much as they keep teasing Thea, and she got a brief appearance early this season, maybe we get another glimpse of her at this season or sometime next season now, because they've certainly been name-dropping her a lot for a character that we think is highly unlikely to see.
Well, you can't just forget about her. You have to keep bringing her up. And bringing Roy back actually helps with that plot line, because Thea and Nyssa, which we do see Nyssa as well in this season, Thea and Nyssa are out doing the Lazarus Pit, and they say there's two left out there. So they need to be on the prowl for those. So I kind of get that. But I would think that Emiko would have more of an animosity towards Thea, because Thea got everything that she should have gotten, and Robert wasn't the dad.
Yeah, technically, Thea's not a queen. So Emiko's actually a queen. Thea's really not a queen, but she got the life that Emiko thinks she deserves. Though it would make more sense if she went after Thea.
Exactly. That's my point. She has a lot of animosity, or she should have a lot of animosity towards Thea. And she has not mentioned Thea at all. It's just been Oliver. And that's where my personal issue and the whole vendetta is. By the way, we did get an Avengers name drop in here, or Avenging, so I thought that was kind of neat the way they did that. For those that are listening to this much, much later, this is the same week that Avengers Endgame came out, so I can see that they... I know it was just one word in dialogue, but I think it was intentionally placed in there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think we finally see Emiko's endgame, which is, let's blow up a building with Oliver and some of his friends in it, leak the security footage that she stole, which will get Team Arrow in trouble. We'll get Dinah in trouble. And as she says, ruin Oliver's legacy, ruin Vigilantes, because Vigilantes are supposed to get the blame for destroying the city. And that's supposed to set up the future, it seems like.
I think the stage is set. What do we have? Two more episodes left this season?
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, the penultimate and the final. The penultimate will be a bring up to the final battle, and then you'll have like the final episode battle. This is going to be epic. Bestwurtz has definitely done a great job in setting this up. Could it have been maybe a little bit too long along the way? Maybe, especially with Dante being killed last episode. But I think it was well done. It was well crafted, kept us interested the entire time. I can't wait for the penultimate next week. And it's all two episodes in a row, right? We don't get a week off, right?
Right. Boom, boom.
So yeah, I can't wait for the next 2 weeks and see what happens. And then take a deep breath as we lurch into the final hiatus, into the final 10 episodes next fall.
Chris, is there anything about the episode you still want to talk about?
I think I'm pretty good on it. And again, I'm going to stick to my theory that as much as they keep name dropping Theo, we're going to get some kind of minor appearance somewhere in the next, what do we have left? 13 episodes? 12 episodes? Somewhere in the next 12 episodes, we get a reappearance, even if it's just for a couple minutes.
SP?
So Felicity was actually in the subway corridors as well. She was in the control area. She's in there. She's on the tape. I think we have the rationale of why she goes into hiding at the end of this as well, because that tape's going to be shown and Felicity's going to be part of it. So she can't just stay in Star City. And yep, I could see this all falling apart pretty quick. And she's leaving the show. She might be back for the finale. I think she will be back for the finale, you know, depending on what her filming schedule is, actually. But I can see this being the end of the road for her. So we'll just see what happens. My curiosity is, what are they going to do with her in the future? I mean, what is the whole future storyline going to go away? Or are they going to finish it current? I don't think they can. I think they have to finish it in the future. Lots of stuff up in the air. I think we'll get a little bit more options taken away from us next week. And then, of course, the following week will be Emily Beck Rickards, who plays Felicity, her last episode in 2 weeks. So we'll just see how it all pans out.
Dinah is supposed to be a detective. One of the people you're closest to isn't drinking alcohol. She is overly emotional when Roy gets there. I mean, obviously, she's going to be emotional. And she's eating everything and then some. How can you not figure out that she's pregnant?
She has to know. She's just not saying anything.
But she seems surprised about the reveal of Mia in the future, though.
Yeah.
Maybe there's just too much S going on, so she can't keep track of everything, and that's just kind of slipping through the cracks. Because remember, what she's doing here is kind of forcing down her own moral compass and helping people lie to cover up murders.
Too much SX going on?
Yes.
You said too much S going on, so is it XS going on?
I was self-censoring myself because I almost said something else.
I know. And our editor, which is not me, for the show is going to be completely appreciative of that. But yes. Yeah, I was trying to make a nice pun there.
Well done.
So, SP, do you have anything else you want to talk about, or are you good?
I'm good. Just, you know, predictions for the future. And it's kind of hard to do that right now, but we do know that Emily only has two episodes left. I think that's the most important thing to know here. And then what happens to Oliver in the future? Who knows?
Well, we're going to learn more next week in the penultimate episode, which is called Living Proof. It's season 7, episode 21. It will air Monday, May 6, 2019. Oliver finds himself in a precarious position, which is a nice way of saying buried under a building. SCPD shows up with a warrant for Felicity. Well, that's probably because of the footage. Directed by Gordon Verhuell and written by Oscar Balderrama and Sarah Tucker.
Live from the Starling Tribune main news desk on floor 52 of the Starling Tribune Tower, it's the weekly news roundup with award-winning chief news anchor, Michelle Ealy. And now, Michelle Ealy.
Thank you, SP. What I have for you this week, I know it's not really big news, but I wanted to point it out. One of the reasons why I actually did like the Flash episode Gone Rogue is that finally Gail Simone gets a major shout out. In the episode, Nora West Allen steals blueprints from a company named after Gail Simone. It's called G. Simone and Associates Architecture, Planning, and Interiors. There, Nora takes the blueprints for McCulloch Technologies off the server, then fries it with her Speed Force Lightning. Simone, of course, can be credited with bringing Ragdoll into the spotlight. Ragdoll was one of the rogues in that episode. In her cult classic run on The Secret Six with Dale Eaglesham, Ragdoll was an integral member of the team. The character quickly became a DC fan favorite after her run. Since Ragdoll was featured heavily in Gone Rogue, it makes sense for Simone to get such a major shout-out. In addition to her work on The Secret Six, Simone is a prolific comic book writer. Her major credits include Birds of Prey, Batgirl, Wonder Woman, Red Sonja, Deadpool, Leaving Megalopolis, and Clean Room. She recently wrote Domino for Marvel Comics and now serves as chief architect for Lion Forge's superhero line, which makes her Flash name drop all the more fitting. So I'm really happy that Gail Simone finally gets a proper shout out in one of these shows.
Yeah, I don't think she was going to get an Arrow because she's really not a huge fan of the whole Elicity thing from what I've been able to tell online. So it had to be Flash where it was going to happen.
Remember back in season one, season two, where we're getting all of these shout outs to the comic writers and comic characters, and we still get them, obviously, with Gail Simone here, but it's not as frequent as it was in the past. Maybe that's because, you know, a lot of the shout outs were already given, but it's great to see shout outs like this when we actually get them. Guys, it's a great time to be a comic book fan. You know, from April to June, you've got amazing stuff going on. You've got this coming up to its season finale and then going into next fall. You've got all the other CW shows wrapping up and you got the big ramp up to Crisis next fall or whatever they're going to call it next fall. The crossover. And you've got Avengers Infinity War over on the Marvel side. You've got the last Fox mutant movie. There's just a lot going on. It's a great time to be a fan in these fandoms.
True that.
And that's all the news that I have.
Well, guys, that all being said, it's time for us to start wrapping up this latest installment of the Starling Tribune. So a big thank you to everyone who did participate in the chat room over at Geeks.live, but also a giant thank you to those of you who check out the audio replays over at StarlingTribune.com or the video replays over at YouTube.com/GonnaGeek.
If you happen to have an Amazon device, you can enable our podcast as a skill. Just say, hey, a word or whatever the activation code is, enable Starling Tribune, and it will, and you have full player control of all the episodes. So that's pretty cool. Also, we have a lot of discussion going on our Discord server, which you can find at gonnageek.com/Discord. There is a Starling Tribune chat channel in that server. So come by and talk about all your CWDC comic shows and films and all the DC related news over there. And remember, you can always catch us live as we record at www.geeks.live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific on most Thursdays.
We would love to hear from you. We're the Starly Tribune on Facebook and Instagram, at Starly Tribune on Twitter, and you can call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Well, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Any last words before we sign off? At Stargate Pioneer.
Hashtag nice flip kick Haas.
At the Chris Farrell.
Hashtag parkour Haas.
And I am at Michelle Ely signing off with hashtag who's got cake. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.